Hear Sister Anna sing a song, but maybe we'll get her next time. Give her a rest time. I enjoy to hear her sing. You know, I love to hear Brother Jordan sing. And everyone knows I love to hear my Hannah sing. You know, it's we finally got her back. We put her out on loan for a few days. And let's get her home now. We sure do miss her when she's gone. You know, she's like a big hole gone. And so I appreciate every one of you. Kind of a privilege to be here in the house of the Lord with you. Elijah got called away. He's having to do a lot of training tonight that has to be done by in the morning, and sound like it's quite a bit of stuff he's got to get done. So I ask the Lord to just be with him. And I want you to remember Brother Tim Lane. He's just trying to recover on his shoulder and his neck area there. And I just appreciate Brother Tim. You know, he's just a real godly brother. I believe he's a good example that we could look to. And I like to have somebody that I can look up to. You know, thank God for him and Brother Tony, that I can have someone that's older than me. They've been down life, down paths that I've never been down before. And you know, there's some things that maybe they made a mistake, and they could keep me from making that mistake. And so, you know, I think it's good to have somebody you can look up to. And I believe that God has a ministry in the hour. I believe that's what the ministry is for, the people, that the people can look to the ministry as an example, that we'll be an example of the faith. And that's our desire. That is our desire, that we can be an example, that we would live a life worthy of the gospel. And you know, and that even with the church, that is for you too, that you would live a life worthy of the gospel. That way your neighbors, your family, everybody can look to you, and then you look to us. Then I look to, you know, it just continually looking on up to the Lord. So I just love every one of you, and I just ask you to pull on the word tonight and just help me get myself out of the way. I've worked today just like many of you today, but I know that God has something for us. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119, verses 130. I want to speak to you on a thought, an entrance to victory. An entrance to victory. And the Lord has been dealing with me on this subject for several months. And this is the first time I've ever actually went to preach it. I don't know how much we'll get into tonight, but we'll just start here. There's one scripture in Psalms 119, verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. He giveth understanding to the simple." And if you look up that word entrance in the Greek, it says the entrance, literally or figuratively, it means coming or entering into. And I also want to go to one more scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 2 Peter 1, 10 through 12. It says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Let's go with the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. I ask you that you would help me to get myself out of the way, Lord. I ask you to touch your precious little bride here, Lord, the little flock that's assembled tonight that'll hear this word. Lord, those that may hear it later on, Lord, I just ask you that the words would fall on deep, fertile ground, Lord, that it could bring forth faith, Lord, that we can become what you have called us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The word in that one where it talks about the entrance in that scripture is actually the word petach, is actually how you say it. It means the opening. And it is disclosure. An entrance in the first scripture in Psalms 119 was asedoso, is how you say it. And it's an entrance. It means coming or entering into. And you know, entering into the word, it gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple. And we need to remember that we are on a battlefield. And the greatest battle that we have is the word. But God gave us that, and the word is our fortification. And Jesus, when he came on in the earth, when he defeated the enemy, he defeated them by the word. And that's what I love about when Jesus, whenever he came and overcome the enemy, he didn't come and overcome him with a superpower that we don't have. He did it exactly in a way that we can do it. He showed us how you can overcome, and he used the word. And the opening of the word will be ministered, it will minister unto us into the everlasting kingdom. So when the word is being ministered to you, it is showing you the entrance into the kingdom. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important. I thank God for a ministry. And I think that's something that the Lord has laid so much on my heart to help us all to see the thankfulness that we should have, the appreciation that we should have, and also the accountability that we should have with the ministry. Because, you know, not just anybody can be a minister. You must be called to be a minister. As I was telling a man that was spraying my office, as I was sitting there for a few minutes, I had an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. And, you know, I began to tell him, I said, you know, you can't just decide you want to be a preacher. If you're a preacher, you're born one. You're born with a gift inside you, and you must be born again. You must meet the pillar of fire. You must have that experience so you can pull somebody to the experience. And what I love about Paul is whenever he was the teacher of teachers, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But whenever he was out of the will of God until he met the pillar of fire. And when he met the pillar of fire, he didn't just go straight into preaching, but he got in the word and said, "Lord, I need the revelation of this word because I want to know what I'm talking about." And the ministry today must do that same thing. We must meet that same pillar of fire. We must have the revelation. That way, whenever we go, we know what we're talking about. Is that true? So there needs to be an accountability to the ministry. And I just want to stop here for just a moment and I'm sure you've heard about what's going on in Israel right now with the attacks that's going on. You know that they found out that the tunnels that they have under their houses were in the making for years. Right. This was not an attack that just happened all of a sudden. This was a strategy. This was a much, much time was involved in getting these underground tunnels right under the people's houses. Right under everything. They had no idea, but the enemy was living underneath their house. Yeah. They were sitting there playing bunco games or whatever they were doing, laughing, having a good time, merry, everything's happy, going shopping, going out to eat, doing cookouts, doing all these great things, and the whole time they were doing this, the enemy was building a tunnel underneath their house. For a sudden attack, and I'm here to tell you, the devil's doing the same thing today. There's so many people, they're not alert, they're not watching, they're just going around like nothing's wrong, no urgency at all, and they don't even realize the devil is building a tunnel right under your house.
Children, this is the goal. This is the standard. This is what we must be doing. But it's so easy to lose respect and urgency. But we need to have respect. And as far as the ministry, I believe we need to be held accountable. Lord, help us to have confidence in the message that we preach.
Right.
Help us to have confidence in the message that we claim that we believe.
Right.
Amen. Brother Brim says this. He said, I've seen people who just didn't even come for healing just be sitting there and then go home after being submissive to the Holy Spirit, and then go home and be made perfectly whole and didn't even realize it.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the healer. The Holy Spirit here tonight, the Holy Spirit is here tonight to energize every life, to do everything. Now you see what the basis of divine healing? We'll have to draw this to a close because time won't let us speak much longer. We've got to bring it to a close. Now, there's something wrong when in the beginning, God created you to be master of every circumstance. That's the origin. That's authentic. That's God's word. There was nothing. Nothing could happen unless you was the master of it. That's what you were created for. Then sin come along through the fall and blinded the eyes of it. Now Jesus came along and redeemed it back. Now the Father gives you the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, giving you all these divine promises. So God created you that you and I can master every circumstance. And through the fall, we were blinded to the things that we could have. We were blinded to the victory that we could have. But when Jesus came, he redeemed you back to your promises. That means God claimed your healing. God claimed your victory. God claimed you and your family. God brought us back. And there's a way that we can be that undefeated army. And it's by the promises of the word. We can defeat the devil. We can master every circumstance by the promises of the word. That's right. He redeems us back to the promises. At one time, God was bottled up in just Jesus Christ, but through the manifestation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he made an entrance that we can too be bottled up with the same life that was in Jesus Christ. That means if we have the same life inside him, we can do the same works. Is that right? The same power, the same life. There is an entrance to every circumstance. There is an entrance to every victory for every circumstance. And from the beginning of time, that entrance has been faith. By faith, God formed the worlds. By faith, Abel offered the right sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith comes by hearing the word being preached. Is that right? That's why it's so inspiring. What is it that makes a believer want to hear the preaching of the word? Faith. There's something inside of you that hungers for faith. God sent gifts into the church to preach the entrance into the kingdom. And you know someone has a gift that they can inspire your faith.
Right.
There's also some people that have a gift to inspire to where they can bring the Spirit of God down through music. It's an entrance.
Right.
Listen to me. If you've got a gift to sing, and I've mentioned the names tonight of people that can sing just in that I'm seeing right here. You have a gift to sing. And I'm not talking about a gift where you can just make their ears feel good for a beautiful sound, even though you can't do that. It sounds awesome. But you have a gift to bring down the presence of God. And that is an entrance for someone to receive their divine healing. By you being able to welcome the Spirit down by singing that song. Whenever you sing, whenever a person can, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they can begin to speak and inspiration comes down. What is it? It's a gift. God put a gift inside the church to where you can produce and show this is the entrance. What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? Have you ever noticed how it can be so cloudy? There's not a ray of sun at all. It's so cloudy. And day after day, it can be cloudy from the wintry times. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a break in the clouds and there's light. to be sung at the right time. A minister can preach something at the right time. What is it? It's an entrance to victory.
Right.
Troy, you can take that, and the victory has always been there. You're just finally seeing it.
Right.
That's right. You always, God was always there. You're just finally seeing it. Men are born with a gift. And there's been some men that are born with a gift to preach, and some people are born with a, Brother Brown talked about, it's someone that have a gift to teach. That you can teach somebody out there either where you can positionally know who you are and have faith in them. There is a good side of teaching.
Right.
And there is a bad side of teaching. Because if it's in the right way, orchestrated by God, anointed by God, led by God, it will lead you into revelation.
Right.
And if it's not, it will lead you into theology.
That's right.
And brother and sister, it is so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Amen. Brother Brum says this. He says, Now then, one speaks. Now, if one speaks and it's not scriptural, don't believe it. If he speaks and it is scriptural, wait a minute. Try it with a Urim Thummim. Then, if the supernatural answers back that it is the truth, then believe it. That's the way to believe a true message. The Bible promises anything, and the Bible says it's so. That's God's Urim Thummim. If the preacher is preaching like the Bible said, that's God's messenger, God's witness. Then if it is, then the supernatural of that word will be made manifest and prove itself to be God. God keeps his promise. Can you say amen? When it's done the right way, according to the Bible, there is a supernatural in the Word that will go manifest in your life. That's what we got to have. We got to have the supernatural of the Word working in our lives. That's what gives you faith to believe. Amen. The supernatural of the Word will manifest, and it will always, God will always prove that this Word is the truth. God will confirm His message is true, and we've been given a message of the hour, and ministers must get in the same spirit that the prophet was in when he received that message. And just as sure as we must receive the same anointing that Brother Brennan received when he received that message, whenever a minister receives his message, the congregation's got to come under that same presence, under that same anointing. Is that the truth?
Amen.
Brother Brennan said it's important that you must get in the spirit.
Amen.
Because if you don't get in the spirit, you won't get anything out of it. You cannot care about basketball whatsoever, but you go to a game and you get in the spirit, you'll get excited with everybody else. Why? Because you're in the spirit. You're caught up in the spirit.
Right.
Sometimes you may still not know everything going on, but you're like, the ball went in the basket. Well, it's the wrong basket. Well, it went in the basket. That's all I know. Praise God. You know? But you know, you've got to get in the spirit. That's why it's so important of a song service. And I just want to say, I'm going to lay this out. Talking about a ministry that we have of song, musicians, and people that play instruments. Everybody has a part to play. You have a gift, but you must protect and sanctify that gift. Hold that gift. Hold it before the Lord. That way God can use you. God can anoint you. That way when each musician is in their place and they're in the service, they're all working together in harmony. And the ministers the same way. The song leaders the same way. Everybody is sanctifying themselves, walking before the Lord. Why? Because they are going to be in service for the Lord.
Right.
I believe if you was going to Solomon's temple, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the order that was done in the service, it was done in such a way people talked about it. And whenever she saw them, they served God with joy in everything that they did. It was a worship in their ministry. And brother, sister, I believe that each one of us, and we all have a part to play in that, and we're with this great thing that God's doing, where God wants to open a word, because we're talking about an entrance to victory.
Right.
To where, and I know we only have just a small portion of the church here tonight, but it's the truth, brothers and sisters, anyhow. If we will all assemble in this way, we can assemble ourselves where we can receive the entrance where God, through service after service, God can give you an entrance to receive divine healing if you need divine healing. Where you can receive a refilling of the Holy Ghost if you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But you go, but it takes an unctioning of every person taking a part of that. Every person, amen. The congregation must get in the same spirit as the minister.
Amen.
And when a preacher preaches divine healing, we should expect God to manifest. power of divine healing.
Right.
Anytime a minister begins to preach, or I hear him speaking about healing, I am expecting someone to be healed.
Right.
I am expecting. Why? Because it is being preached. This may sound silly, but to me it's as simple as this. If my wife's making a pie, and she starts adding cinnamon, you know what I expect to taste when I eat that pie? Cinnamon.
Right.
And whenever the preacher's preaching in this message of divine healing, we should expect cinnamon. We should expect it. Why? Because it's being preached. It's a seed that's being sown. And whenever we say in our heart, Lord, I believe that. I want your word, Lord. I'm confessing it with my mouth. I am confessing. I believe this word that I am healed.
Amen.
I may not feel healed. I may not look healed, but I am healed. Praise God. And God will work on your profession. And God will do that same thing on every promise in the book. Every promise, no matter what the devil throws at you, you must take the word that's being preached and say, Lord, I believe that word. And then when you confess that word, the supernatural of that word will go to work.
Right.
It's not you, it's him.
Amen.
You're just confessing that you believe it.
Right.
He will work on your profession. Amen. The supernatural of the word will manifest. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we are commanded, Brother Tony, to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Can you say amen, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
We want our pastor, we want me, we want any other minister comes there. When you come here, preach the gospel. And then that's their job. It's your job to say, I believe it. Because you know what? Brother Tony can throw the perfect spiral to you to make the cuts there, but you've got to catch the ball. He can throw it right in your lap. You've got to be able to take the ball and run with it. And that's the same way it is with this gospel. When the word's being preached to you, that's all we can do is preach it. It's up to you at that point.
Right.
You know, it's like when a man is counseling, talking to a couple, and all he does is do the counsel, but you've got to run with it after that. Because it's up to you at that point. Is that true? If you've got my children are fussing and fighting one another. If I'm talking to them, all I can do is counsel the best I can, but it's up to them after that. Eliezer, all Eliezer could do is present Rebekah with the words of of Isaac.
Right.
But he had to get out of the way and let Rebekah and Isaac do the consummation. All the ministry can do is put you toward Christ, point you toward Christ, point you toward Christ, but it's up to you to consummate.
Amen. That's right.
We can't do that part. All we can do is give it to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Brim says this. He says, first, to approach this, the audience must be anointed with faith. If you do not have faith, then there's no need of even coming to be prayed for. Because it's going to take your faith and my faith together. My faith to believe him. Your faith to believe him. So we don't get this now as I go along. So we don't forget this now as I go along. We've got to have something evidence, that we can base our faith upon that we're trying to do. Because if man approaches anything that he wants to do without sufficient faith, he's bound to be a failure. But if he can approach it with sufficient faith, then he's bound to succeed if it is according to God's will and God's purpose of him doing it. We need faith.
Right.
And did you realize what he said? He said, we need to be anointed by faith. How do you get anointed by faith? We're going to get there. Without faith, we are bound for failure.
Right.
Without faith, a church is bound for failure. Without faith, a family is bound for failure. But with faith, a church will succeed. With faith, marriages will succeed. With faith, families will succeed. The devil will fight against what? Against faith. Because faith is our victory. Faith is the key that opens the door. It is faith. Amen. We need faith.
Right.
God has sent gifts into the church that they can preach a gospel that produces faith. Amen. What was the message for? It was to turn our faith of the fathers back to the children, off the hearts of the children back to the fathers. What is it? faith in the word. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Bubba says, now catch this. He says, any of you, I tell you, Great Eastern Revival of many years ago, when Africa, when those Hottentots and so forth over there, when they had a revival, the very reason of it never come from their teaching and their big schools. It was one poor, illiterate, unlearned colored man back in a little old hut back there, laid on his face day and night in the dust and prayed till God sent a revival that swept all Eastern and Northern Africa in the kingdom of God. And they had a revival there. My, what a revival. But what ruined it? Then the teachers come down from England in different ways, began to shut up in there and began to teach theology and get away from the power of God and things like that. And then the whole thing went into chaos. That's just exactly what happened in the United States of America. And let me say this humbly, that's exactly what's happened around the message. Of teaching the theology of the message and no power of the message. You say amen. Because you know, the theology of the message will tell you all about it, but you can't overcome one devil. Brother and sister, God has called us a gospel that we can overcome the devil. I'm going to tell you, if you got a perverted spirit of a devil that wants to try to a lust spirit, that is a spirit. And you can try to condemn that spirit, and you can do all kinds of things, and all you can do, all you're going to do is make the person feel bad. It's a spirit.
Right.
You can't reason a spirit out of somebody. You cast a spirit out of somebody.
Right.
You get a spirit inside a church that will cause people bickering and talking bad about one another. That is a spirit.
Right.
And you can try to reason and intellectually talk about that thing. That devil will walk around your life, and he'll sit with you day after day after day, and you'll become bitter, 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 bitter. It is a spirit. But we have a gospel that you can be delivered from those things. You say amen.
Amen.
God can set you free from those things. Or whenever you've got a depressing spirit that comes on you, you can try to talk about those things. I know what I'm talking about because I fought that devil. I know what that devil smells like. I know what that devil looks like because I fight that devil. And I'm here to tell you, as I've preached many times, Brother Tony said, you can try to push somebody with a rope, it won't work, but you can pull them. And I'm here to tell you, you want deliverance of those things, I'm telling you, there's victory in the name of Jesus Christ. You can have victory from that depressing spirit because that spirit will come back after you're free from him. You know, the scripture says that spirit will walk in dry places, finding no rest. He said, I'm going to go back to my house. And he'll take seven other devils with him.
Yeah.
And that person will be worse off than they were in the first place. What is it? That spirit left them and they didn't fill the house. And that's why I didn't bring the quote with it. Brother Branham talked about the camp meetings. I love it. Because then the camp meetings, he said, people go to one camp service, they get so full, they're dancing in the spirit, they're shouting in the spirit, they praise God in the spirit. And then after the meeting's over, they say, I wish I could keep the victory. Brother Brim says, because you're not standing in the right place eating the manna.
Right.
Listen to me, brother and sister, that's where our victory is you got to eat the manna. When you come to church, those spirits will leave you. And you're walking for freedom. But what you've got to do after that is you've got to stay in the holy place and got to keep eating the manna. Because this word that the prophet gave us, that is what will fill your house.
Right.
That is what will give you the Holy Ghost, is by eating this word. Brother Graham talked about, he's the first person I've ever heard make it clear to me about the sanctified spirit. How a person will get so full of the Spirit and they're just ones who want to jump up and shout, praise God, and the thing they got the Holy Ghost. And Brother Brennan said, that's not the Holy Spirit, that is your spirit. He put a new spirit inside you because you couldn't even agree with yourself,
right.
Much less would you agree with God. So God gave you a new spirit, I'm going to call it a spirit of sanctification. It's a spirit inside you that will agree with God. Well, you begin to apply the word to your life.
Right.
And eat the manna in the hidden place. You want victory? I'm telling you, the entrance to victory is you've got to eat the manna.
Right.
That's right. You've got to eat the manna. Because that is where your victory comes from. Because we've got to eat this word. Because this word, they that eat this word will overcome this age. The spirit of this age. We got to overcome the spirit of Laodicea.
Right.
And you will not overcome spirit of Laodicea by yourself, because if you could, you wouldn't need a prophet's message. God gave a prophet's message, and if we will eat the hidden manna, brother and sister, that's where your victory will come from. Amen. I believe this with all my heart. I've seen it in action. I know it works.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Brown talked about inside of my house, he said there's three different rooms. He said you might have 10 rooms in your house, but there's really only three.
Right.
There's the kitchen, the dining room, and the bedroom. Brother Brown talked about the tabernacle. He said you got the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. You can't stay out in the outer court and just eat manna out there. And because you know what they do? They take the manna from there and put it in the holies of holies. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't stay in justification where you just say, well, you just go by feelings. Because you know how many knows you have feelings, justification? How many of us you have feelings of sanctification?
Mm-hmm.
When you get behind the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can have feelings, but just having feelings is not the proof that you're behind the Holy of Holies.
Right.
It's because you are a new creature.
Right.
You are no longer the same person.
Amen.
You have been changed.
Amen.
Brother Brown, I got asked a question one time. He said, Brother Brown, how can I know I got the Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Ghost. He said, well, can you have a baby and not know it? He said, can you have a baby and not know you? That's like having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you know who you was and you know who you are.
That's right.
I know who I was. I know the things I like to do. I know the things I craved. I knew the things I hungered for. And I know the things that I crave now. And the deceiving part of it is, brothers and sisters, it makes it so hard in this age, is because you can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh and not have it inside your soul. You can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh, you can have that spirit of sanctification, and you're jumping, and you're shouting, and you're jumping, and you're shouting, but you don't, and if you don't stay in the inner court and eat the hidden manna, you will go back to the same old thing again. Just like a robin to its box. But brother and sister, we got to go. We got to seek your calling and election sure every day. Brother Brim talked about the. We have time already. Now you can get started. I won't give you all mine, but give me a little bit, okay? Brother Brim talked about the eagle. Brother Brim was out in the woods, and he said that he had his gun sitting there, and he saw this. He's praising God, and he looked at this eagle over here, and he heard his chatter, 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 chatter. Looking over here, chatter, 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 and this. Eagle was sitting here, and that squirrel was chatter, 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 nonstop. And finally, Brother Brown said, I looked at that eagle, and he said, you know what? I could shoot you if I wanted to. Now, I know he would never do it, but he said, I could shoot you if I wanted to. And he said, before he could even grab his gun, two flops, and that eagle was gone. When I heard that message, that little portion of that story, this scripture really came to my mind. God gave that eagle a provided way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
And that provided way of escape was not his feet. He wasn't going to run. It was using his wings.
Mm-hmm.
That was his provided way. He said, and before he took that flight, he noticed every once in a while that eagle would move in those wings. What's he doing? Check one, check two, check, check.
Mm-hmm.
Check one, check two. Ready for takeoff. Brother and sister, that's exactly how we got to do. Because we have a provided way of escape. It's not using our feet, not our legs, not like that. It is faith.
That's right.
Amen.
It is faith in God's word. We're on a daily basis, check one, check two, I'm walking by faith.
Amen.
I'm reading the word in the morning. That's why it's so good to read your Bible in the mornings. Read your Bible in the word, and you think about that. Lord, what does that mean? What does that scripture mean? What are you doing? Exercising faith.
Mm-hmm.
When you're listening to a tape, you're hearing a tape, and you're hearing the message. What is it? You're exercising your wings.
Right.
Bro, God, I know this sounds simple, brother and sister. It works. God has given you an entrance. That is an entrance for you for victory.
Amen.
Whenever you're reading your Bible, when you're praying and you're meditating on the word, what does this mean?
Right.
When you hear Brother Tony or myself or whoever you're hearing preaching, what is he trying to say to me?
Mm-hmm.
What is his message? What is the message that he's given to me? What are you doing?
You are moving those wings. You're checking, Lord, what is it? Because there is a supernatural to the word. Brother Brennan talked about, as I read the quote earlier, there's people that go to a service, they weren't even thinking about divine healing. But because they were in that presence, they went home and they found out they were healed.
Right.
What was it? They had faith and didn't even realize it. Brother Brennan said, look, you have faith and you didn't realize you have faith. If I was to ask you how much faith you have, give me some faith. You couldn't give me no faith in a tangible substance and pouring it out. It's something you can't express. If I was to say, hey, let me show you my faith and pull out a card, you can't do that.
Right.
There's nothing tangible that you can have. I'm saying, oh, but this is how much faith you have. I got 20, 30. Well, Lord knows I ain't got that. That's not what he's talking about. You can't show it by that. By a tangible thing. But there is a way that you can show you have faith. It's the life that you live.
Yeah.
My life is the expression of the faith that I have in God's word.
Amen.
Brother Brown said it, part of the sin's not your drink, the drinking's not your sin, the smoking's not your sin, this is not your sin, that's not your sin. Unbelief is your sin.
Right.
And you do those things because you don't believe it. But sister, when you believe the word, our life is the evidence that I believe in. You say amen.
Amen.
In our life, faith is our door. Faith is the entrance that we have to where God wants to express himself through you through faith. Amen. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
I think I have one more quote I want to bring, and then I'll right here, this will be the last quote. But Brim says, when Christ came to become man here on earth and be a kinsman redeemer, he redeemed man to everything he lost in the fall. Christ restored it to him in the kinsman redeemership. When he died at Calvary, your health, your eternal life, everything that you lost in the fall, Christ redeems it, redeems you to it. For he's your kinsman redeemer. Your health, your strength, everything that you lost belongs back to you. Tonight, through the Lord Jesus, he become kinfolks to take away your sickness. He is your kinsman redeemer. When you walk in his promises, you are vindicating. You are testifying he is my redeemer. You know what my son Elijah, that poor kid, he'd go to school and they'd say, you're Daniel Black's kid, ain't you? And I said, why he said this? You look just like him. I believe that's exactly the way it is with us, brother and sister. Somebody will look at you and say, you're a Christian, ain't you?
Yeah.
You don't have to say that you're a Christian. There's a life that you're living it's going to say. Let's all stand.
Right.
Your life is expression of your faith.
Yeah.
We have an entrance. We have an entrance, and that entrance is through faith. And I just want, and Brother Brennan said this, I know it sounds simple, brother and sister, but listen to me. Brother Brim said a good Christian will pray and read their Bible every day.
That's right.
That devil will fight you to take you away from your prayer life. You watch and see. You go a morning and you get up at an appropriate time, at a certain time, and you pray and you read your Bible. You watch the next morning and something will happen to try to distract you from reading your Bible and praying. That is not just a coincidence.
That's right.
That is a devil that's fighting. Brother Brim said we have 200 million devils that have been loosed upon us. Brother and sister, we must remember we have an enemy. And as I've said, as Brother Tony, get ready, come on forth, brother. We have to remember that we have these enemies that are coming against us that are nonstop. The children of Israel, right now, they had warning after warning after warning of saying these things are happening. And they didn't listen to the warning. And the people suffered for it. We don't want to find ourselves guilty in that in the spiritual. We want to tell you in advance, hey, we see these things are coming. We see these things. We see that these things are trying to creep in on the people. We see these people because I see it so clearly. The devil's trying so hard to take the people's confidence away. I've been saying it. If you go back and listen to the services, I've been saying it for months now. The devil is doing his best to take your confidence away from the pulpit. To where your confidence will not be there. The devil will weaken that, your confidence. Why is he doing that? He's trying to take you away from faith.
Amen.
And listen to me, you get around other people and they begin to talk about, start speaking against the pulpit, start speaking against the ministry, you better watch it, because listen to what I'm saying. That is a spirit.
Amen.
And that spirit will anoint you, and it will go on to the next person. It will pervert households. It will pervert a whole church. It is a spirit. And I recognize that spirit, and I speak against that spirit.
Amen.
I see it. And it's trying to come against the church. And when you see that thing rising up, you don't listen to that thing.
Amen.
The Bible tells you, you shun those vain babblings. Because it will not produce faith.
Amen.
It will take you away from faith. It will. And a person, when they have a spirit on them, they don't even know that they have a spirit on them.
Right.
You think that man drinking alcohol knows he's got a spirit on him? He don't know that. He thinks he likes alcohol. No, he's got a spirit on him.
Right.
And when you've got somebody that will speak against the message, it is a spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will say amen to this word.
That's
the prophet
right.
never pointed to himself. He pointed right back to the word.
Amen.
He said, if I ever get away from the word, you put a false prophet on me and drive me out of town, don't listen to me. He pointed us right back to this.
Amen.
Brother and sister, this will lead you to a holy life. It will lead you to a consecrated life.
Amen.
God will not break this word.
That's right.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. And Lord, I pray I didn't say anything out of tone, Lord, but I just felt, Lord, such an urgency from you, Lord, to cry out to my brothers and sisters. Well, I'm not crying against my brothers and sisters. I'm crying against a spirit that I see trying to come against my brothers and sisters. Lord God, I ask you that you would come and help us to have faith in this word as never before, Lord. Lord God, we don't want to find ourselves being so lackadaisy the enemy is camping right in our houses. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, you would help this ministry here, Lord, that we will not back down, Father, but we will move
right.
forward preaching your gospel, Lord, not turning to the left, not turning to the right, Lord. Father, the word says that you will confirm the word with signs and miracles and healings, oh God. Lord, and I testify, my brother Tony testifies, we preach that you are Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, I ask you, Lord, may the miracles of this word work in your people's hearts and their lives, Father.
Yes.
I love you, Father,
yes.
In Jesus' name.
Love it.
Amen.
Nothing like truth. Amen. Nothing like truth. You know, Brother Graham told us over and over that love is
corrective.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. And so we receive it.
Amen.
Amen. We receive that correction. Amen. You know, when you build something, things are built upon other things. That you blame, you know, it's a process. And you give yourself to the Lord and do it the way the word says, then that makes it easier for the Lord to build something else right on top of that, and something else right on top of that. It's a process. And so anything that you can sanctify in your life for the Lord, he will bless.
Amen.
Your time, your voice, your thoughts, anything that you can say to yourself, I'm going to take this portion of time or this gift or this whatever it is, and I'm going to sanctify that for the Lord. I'm going to set it apart for him.
Yes.
He will bless that.
That's right.
Do you know that every member of your body, every organ in your body is sanctified?
Mm-hmm.
Your heart has one job. It is sanctified to do one thing. It's set apart to do one thing. Your liver does one thing. So every person in this church, there is a sanctified place for you. There's a place where you can pull yourself aside and you can be service to the body of Christ, and no one else can do that.
Right.
But you have to make that decision. You have to seek that out, what that is in your life that you're going to serve God with.
Amen.
So I could ask you this. How are you serving God's body? I don't mean just the local body, because we're a universal body.
Mm-hmm.
But ask yourself, what am I doing for the kingdom of heaven? How am I fighting each day for this gospel? We should ask ourselves those things and let the Lord reveal to us that what it, we should be, and then move that way and fight for it. So, you know, the scriptures let us know that, you know, Jesus sent his word and healed them. Amen? And we believe that. And I just want to say this. Once the old man is dead, he's dead. And I only know one who can resurrect, who has resurrection power. And that's our Lord.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that if the old man is dead, the Lord's not going to resurrect him.
Right.
You can't resurrect him.
Right.
When you really reach that place where that old man is dead, there's not a thing you or anyone else can do to make him come back, because God's not going to resurrect him.
Right.
Now, your flesh might be still, but we're talking about that inner man. Once you reach that behind the veil, holiest of holies, there's no coming back.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what we all want. Mm-hmm. And then that experience will feed on the word. Mm-hmm. And that experience will guide you, always point you to the word.
Amen.
Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Good. I pray that revival is stirring.
Yes.
Amen. I really enjoyed the service tonight. I enjoyed service Sunday, even though I was born ministry. I enjoyed.
Amen.
I enjoy what the Lord's doing. So,
yes.
Have key of A. I don't know the song number. Can't you see? Received it.
Amen.
Amen. The message, the words that came.